Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
I'm trying to just take us a little bit beyond the day of Christmas into the days that followed. And in Luke chapter 2, we have Jesus presented at the temple. And I'd just like to say a foreword that, so it was a custom in Israel that every child would be dedicated to the Lord, but especially the first child, remembering how the firstborn of Israel had been spared during that final plague in Egypt. They'd been passed over when the firstborn of the herds and the firstborn of the Egyptians passed away that night. So the people of Israel had their firstborn passed over, and it's thanksgiving in remembering how precious God's care was. They continued sacrifice to offer thanks to God. But what's interesting, and you may not realize, is that there were two kinds of sacrifices that parents could give for their firstborn. And there's one that is a rather expensive sacrifice. I think it's a young calf or an ox. And there's a less expensive sacrifice for those who are poorer. And you'll notice that Mary and Joseph give the smaller sacrifice, not because they're lacking in any righteousness, but because Jesus was born into a poorer family. And that is kind of part of the remarkable part of this story. The baby born in the manger, welcomed by shepherds, was born into a situation of poverty and need, not into a rich palace. So let's remember that as we consider whenever we bring our needs before Jesus, he knows what it is to have needs. In the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's anointed. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. So we've celebrated the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus comes with all kinds of promises, all kinds of joy, and we make a big deal of it because it is a big deal. And yet it's so easy to make it just one season of the year. And, you know, people talk about, in many songs, the secret of Christmas is to do Christmas things all year long. Or that Christmas shouldn't be just one day a year, Christmas should be every day. We like this peace on earth and this love and tenderness and this generosity. And we say, why can't it be Christmas all year long? And Jesus agrees. That's what it is to be the church. To be Christmas people. Who understand that there's joy in the world even when things are going wrong. People who can, like in the First World War, could stop the war and sing carols with their enemies before going back to the work of killing each other. You kind of wish they had been able to keep Christmas going that season for more than a few days. But that horrid, 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 bloody war could have come to an end just because of Christmas. At least faith was able to bring people to pause that war. Can we be messengers of peace all year long? Can we find the joy of Jesus when we aren't getting it continuously pumped into our systems through stereo systems and Christmas movies? Can we let Jesus change us the way he's intended to change the world? That's what it is to be the church. Many Christians, and they are Christians, they go through life with a kind of low-level belief, a low-level hope, a low-level reassurance that comes from knowing that when they die, they'll be with God because Jesus died for their sins. But it doesn't make a whole lot of difference in their lives. They're good people, they're nice people, but they wouldn't say that they're really highly spiritual people. They go to church, they sometimes read their Bible. They believe the stuff, though. They believe it. But the Bible doesn't tell us this story just for information. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell us the story just to give us a little bit of hope and a little bit of joy. Jesus tells us that he came so that we might have life, and that abundantly. Jesus came to say that and told them about what God wanted for them. And though it sounded like commands, he said, I'm telling you this so that my joy can be in you and so that your joy can be full. I want to challenge you. Is your joy full? Or is there room for more joy in your life? Is there room for more peace? Do you have an ordinary peace in your life? Or do you have the peace that passes understanding? An overwhelming calm in the midst of storms. Would you say that this last year has challenged your sense of joy and your sense of peace? It has for some people. And some people have responded to that challenge by discovering that there's more in Christ than they had realized before. They've pursued Christ. They've gone to the scriptures to find more of God's encouragement because life around them was dragging them down. And they've discovered that the scriptures are not just a refuge when times are rough. Scriptures are the source of a welling up of what Christ would call streams of living water that flood a thirsty soul. That the scriptures and prayer are not just routines we go through, but an encounter with a living God who wants to speak his encouragement and his direction and give his help in our lives. He calls us to be the church. And looking back over the past year, I cannot imagine a part of the church that I would rather be in than this church here. Because I've seen how our pastors have been setting an example of pastoral care. Can I just say something? And you guys know it if you've been with me for all these years. I think pastor is not one of my stronger spiritual giftings. I can sit with you in the hospital and I can encourage you sometimes, but I'm a rather shy person, believe it or not. Well, you guys know that. But we've got some people in our church who are just absolutely tremendously gifted in pastoring. That doesn't mean they always know what the right thing to say is, but they're there when you need them. And they may not know exactly what to do, but they'll bring you a card or a gift, or they'll pray for you. They've got a gift of just loving on people. And the Bible says that God has appointed pastors in the church to equip all of God's people for works of service. And as I watch, well, people like Barb and Sharon and Jackie and other people that well, Sandra I'll name, but there's a couple of people I won't name because they don't think of themselves as pastors. But as I watch them, I become a better pastor. And if you'll pay attention to how people are showing love to you, you'll become a better pastor too. God wants us all to be pastors and to get better at it. He wants us to be the church. Now, I'm more of a teacher. And a teacher is someone who wants people to be able to learn more. I'm probably not the best teacher in our church. We've got people who've taught for their whole careers. We've got people who just know how to get people to learn it for themselves. I'm more of a tell you what to do kind of person, and other people are discovery people. You know, they help you discover something that you didn't notice before. We've got great teachers in this church, and it says, along with pastors, God has appointed teachers in the church. And those teachers, when they teach well, they teach us how to learn. And they also set an example for us. I'm becoming a better teacher as I watch our teachers teach. I hope you are too. Because we can all grow in all the areas that lead to a mature church and a mature faith for each of us. It also says that God has appointed prophets in the church. Now, prophets are people like the prophetess Anna in the temple scene that we read. The prophetess Anna was someone who heard from God and was able to tell people what she had heard from God. There were prophets and prophetesses throughout the history of the church and the Jewish nation. We often see the headlining prophets are the guys like Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Habakkuk, and Malachi, and Zechariah, and Zephaniah, and all these challenging names. But when Josiah was doing reforms in Israel and trying to get rid of all the false worship, all the sacrifice of children to false gods, and all the fertility cults that were destroying lives and families, he went to a prophetess who confirmed that that was what God was calling him to do. Prophets and prophetesses are people who hear from God, but in the New Testament church, God says he's appointed those people who are good at listening to God, good at understanding his will in scripture and in prayer, and he's appointed them to equip the people of God for service, so that all of us can encounter God more tangibly and certainly in our life. And as I watch the people of prayer in this church, I become a better prayer. As I learn from others beyond this church, I'm learning, as you'll see next week, I'm learning from someone who's discipling me in the method of discipleship of the Navigators organization. I'm learning from people in Steinbeck, Manitoba, who are helping me to understand how to create a discipleship culture in the church. And I'm learning from other colleagues in weekly prayer and fellowship, and by reaching out across now through video conferencing to more and more opportunities to grow in maturity in Christ. God doesn't want our faith to just be a little pilot light that kind of, if you go really close to it, you can keep warm. God wants our faith to be a great, if you will, a great fire, a great furnace, bringing warmth not only to ourselves but to the world around us. He wants to move us from pilot light faith to bringing grace and peace to the whole world. Faith. You may not think you're lined up for that, but Jesus says the kingdom of God is for everybody. It requires a transformation on the part of everybody. There's not one person who can just stand up and go to the kingdom of God and say, "I'm ready for you, God. I got it all figured out. I've got it all perfect." There's not one person who doesn't need that change of thinking and learning and training to become even more effective in their faith, to become fruitful and productive in the things of God. So don't think that you're singled out if you find that you've got some work to do. It's the best work you could ever do. It's the joy of discovering that you can do things you couldn't do. Now, part of the reason I'm saying this is because we've got another lockdown on, and we need to be the church more than ever. And by that, I don't just mean we have to work harder. We also have to rest better. Because there is a rest in Christ that strengthens you for the hardships. It's not all about, "Lord, equip me and give me some work to do and I'll wear myself out doing work." That's not what Jesus is calling us to. He's calling us first and foremost to receive the peace and the joy. And from that beautiful place of rest, to be able to reach out with a new strength and a new hope. And right now, people are tired. People are tired from all the Christmas stuff. People are tired of lockdowns. You're tired of the ordinary stuff that was always there in your life making you tired, and now you got all this stuff too. And so, if we have a little bit of time, maybe between Christmas and New Year's, maybe it's a time to be the church by drawing near to the manger again and just resting there in the presence of Jesus, thinking about how good he's been to you, how wonderful he has been to all the world, to think about the tenderness of his coming and the endurance and perseverance of his ministry and the great love that flows from him to you as you consider this wonderful gift of a Savior. So let yourself rest and be the church, and let God equip you and be the church, and let God use you and discover that you have a great purpose, a great wonderful gift to give the world because God has been pouring it into your life to be the church. One of the reasons that Jesus had to come was because nothing else fixed the world. And God had done a lot of stuff to help us do better. He'd given the people of Israel a law and a sacrificial system to deal with guilt and to direct their lives. And he gave them priests to direct them in the ways of God, and he gave them what are called shepherds in the Old Testament, shepherds of his people Israel. The word pastor is from the word for shepherd. But the shepherds of Israel were called prophets. They were called priests. They were called kings and princes. There were all kinds of people in positions of authority whose job was to shepherd, care for the people. But they weren't doing it. People get into a position of authority and power and they start using it for themselves. Familiar story? It's the real world in which Jesus came. And Jesus came because the shepherds he had appointed weren't doing their job. And he had to come himself to shepherd the sheep. On the one hand, we can be amazed at that compassion, that God himself came to shepherd his people. But we can also be warned. We've been appointed to do the ministry of Christ here in the world. And God is serious about us taking that responsibility on, not just as a hobby, but as the central focus of our lives. He's serious about it because he delights to see the way you can change lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. He delights for you to discover the joy of being an instrument of God's blessing in somebody else's life. He doesn't want you to go through life going, well, I made it. I made it through. He wants you to go through life realizing that you are experiencing joy and victory as God overcomes your weaknesses and overcomes your fears and your anxieties and overcomes your appetites that have taken control and your aversions that have kept you from working on things. And he overcomes that and shows you what you can be as you and I become the church, as we live out the beautiful opportunity that God has given us. I don't know what 2021 is going to bring for us. I'm hoping it brings us a lot of vaccine, a lot more freedom from restrictions. But we didn't see what was coming into 2020, and 2020 is supposed to be perfect vision, right? Well, we don't know what's coming in the world. But I tell you, the thing that you can have some part in to make sure it happens is draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Be the church, and you will see a world of difference. So let's take that to heart. Let's say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, you didn't come for nothing. It's changed things when you came, and it's changing me. Lord, I want you to change me more and more, to make me more and more like yourself, to become perfect in love, perfect in forgiveness, perfect in helping. Take us there, Lord. Take us where you want us to be, to that place of service and joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, I do hope that you're encouraged by the message today. And this next hymn, this carol that we're going to sing, is talking about the wise men. And they were following this star with gladness. I love how this song emphasizes the joy in seeking and finding Jesus. I hope that you can remember how God has been joy to you and anticipate more joy as you continue on this journey. As with gladness, men of old.
As with gladness, men of old, did the guiding star behold. As with joy they hail this light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to Thee. us in the narrow way. And when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last. Where they need no star to guide, where no clouds thy glory hide. In the heavenly country bright, need they no created light. Thou its light, its joy, its crown, thou its sun which goes not down. Therefore ever may we sing alleluias to the King.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.